Five, four, three, two, one, go!
Y'all, we done made it to the end of the week. Man, you can't beat that, huh? We at the end of the week. It's time for some relaxation. That's right, y'all. It's time for some relaxation for us to sit down, chill out, and just have us a little bit of fun. Because this is Freedom Friday here on Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk. And I am in the house. Man, I tell you, we've had a great week of shows and man, a lot of information put out also, and I couldn't ask for anything better. I'm telling you, because we have been rocking and rolling. You can't beat anything like that, I'm telling you. That's for sure. And I look for the day to be the same as the rest of the week. You know, a lot of information put out, and man, I'm telling you, I'm excited again. I really am. I don't know. I think Blog Talk messing with my show again, y'all, because I don't know. I don't see nobody in the chat room or nowhere on the lines, and somebody's flashing in and out. I don't know, but it's okay. We still going to get it on. We're going to get it on. You know, this will be happening on a day I really don't feel like talking. Can't you tell I really don't feel like talking because I'm talking a whole lot right now? I know, right? But it's going to be okay. It is. It's going to be okay. It really is, because we are here to make things happen. That's right. That's right. That's right. But anyway, like I say, welcome to the show, y'all. And, I'm looking for another outstanding day. You know, my co-host wanted us to talk a little bit about W.E.D. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington today. And, you know, compare the two of them and their philosophies. And, you know, that was a good idea. That's a good idea. However, after doing a little research and digging, I really don't feel like we'll do them either one of these gentlemen any justice, and because you just can't do it in 2 hours. I mean, if you're gonna go and compare those two, you know, their philosophies, their beliefs, and the effect they had on society, not only during their time period, but today's society as well. I came to the conclusion that you just can't do it. Not without having to mention Marcus Garvey, Frederick Douglass, you know, individuals like that, they have to be included in the conversation. So I've decided what we can do is all next week, we're going to hit on these gentlemen And we're going to make things, I mean, we're going to go into it and discuss all of it. And we're going to do them some justice. We can't just do it for 2 hours and say, okay, that's all we need. Now, these gentlemen deserve a longer period of discussion than just two and a half hours. So with that being said, I think today we're just going to open up the mics and open up the show for just open conversation. And see where it may lie and see where things fall, because I'm sure there's a lot going on that a lot of people would like to discuss anyway. If it falls back on some of the topics that we've discussed earlier in the week, yeah, I'm for that. We can make that happen. We can make that happen because we're just good like that. All right. So anyway. So I think that's what we're going to do today. It makes it real easy. You know, plus it gives me and my co-host a couple more days to dig into our research and make sure, you know, make things happen. Oh, well, I don't know. Is that a good thing, Crazy? Crazy say this show keeps me off Amazon. Okay. Well, hopefully that's a good thing. That's all I can say. Hopefully that's a good thing. In other words, you say you ain't spending no unnecessary money. I understand that. That's all good. That's all good. All right. So here it is, y'all. You want to be a part of the show today? Man, there's two, three, four ways you can do that. And we welcome any way you choose. The first way is just call us live, man. Call, hear the show live, and you can input live if you choose to. And the only thing you have to do is call 347-838-8622. Don't call it, dial it, okay? Just dial 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericglesstalk@gmail.com. You can join us in our chat room. And just go to the website www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk and sign in there. Now, if you come in as a guest, the only thing you'll be able to do is look at everybody as they post comments. And you'll only be able to read what's being put in the chat room. However, if you sign in with your if you sign in using your username from one of your media sites or whatever you have, then you'll be able to respond and comment in the chat room as well with everyone else. All right. Also, you can send me an email during the show. Once again, it's ericglesstalk@gmail.com. And then also there is the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And you can send me emails or friend me there, and, you know, we can make it happen. Now, if you email me, send me something on Facebook, and you like me, just put it on the air. Please annotate that so I'll be aware of it, and I can get it on the air for you, okay? And, you know, we make it simple for you. And we welcome everyone. You know, we do not say no to anyone unless you have reached the pinnacle of ignorance that we do not tolerate on this show. Now, yesterday, I guess some individuals had to try Mr. Talk. They really did. They had to see was Mr. Talk all about what he was saying about he's not allowed on this show. And actually, one of the regulars got kind of rowdy, too. And yes, all of them got kicked. You know, bye-bye is for real. When you say bye-bye, you will not be heard anymore that show. And that's a guarantee. So, you know, I just want you to know, if you call in, please act as an adult. We do not have talking over anyone. I know it, sometimes it may happen, but, you know, usually, you know, it calms down and everybody realizes what's going on. So respect everyone else's time to speak, okay? And we also do require you to speak as an adult. Don't come in here with all them cuss words and all that disparaging, disparaging comments and, you know, all those words that, you know, are harmful to others. I know some of you say, well, it's just a word. Well, to you, maybe it's a word, but it's a word I don't want to use. I do not want used on my show, okay? And since I pay for this show and I don't have any sponsors at this time, that's what I say. All right. I'm just putting it out there, you know, and, you know, it's daytime, summertime, and we have no idea who's listening to the show. So if there should happen to be some young people out there listening, I don't want them to hear that on my show. All right. My son don't do it. I don't do it that often. So I'm not going to let anyone come on my show and do it, you know. And it's more enjoyable that way. It really is. Okay, so as I said, no topics is off limits. You know, today it's going to be open conversation. And we're going to have us some fun today. We really are. So what I want you to do, everybody, do is just sit back, relax. Go and get your favorite beverage that you're going to be using on a Friday. And sit back and enjoy the show. Now, let me bring my the other part. The other half of the show in. He's been sitting there waiting real patiently. So without further ado, let me bring my co-host in, Mr. Hakeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio. Mr. Hakeem, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm enjoying myself. It's a beautiful day. It isn't a 0 hour yet, which means I still have a few moments before the ratchetness begins near, not too far from my house. So we got a few of the ratcheted going on over this way. Yeah. So I'm enjoying myself.
All right.
Yeah. I think we all have it. Near our homes or around us, everybody has at least a neighbor or two. At least.
Say at least. You're right. You are absolutely right. Yeah, and it is the weekend, so you know they as the young people say now, they're gonna turn it up, whatever that means. You know, they're gonna turn it up. I guess that means they're going to be partying. I guess that's another word for partying now. Turn it up, you know. Hey, you did the way we're going to do the discussion when it comes to W.E.D. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington. And I was saying earlier, I don't know if he was here yet or not, but what I was saying is, you know, just to do 2 hours on those gentlemen really doesn't do them any justice. And I feel like you really can't have a conversation just about those two without bringing in Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey also. So I say what we're going to do is next week we're going to, you know, dedicate the whole week to those gentlemen right there. So we get deep into it and you know, discuss the effects, not only the effects that they had during their time period, but bringing it forward into today's society and our time and see how many of those philosophies are still prevalent today and how would we view them. So, you know, that basically makes today an open conversation. Whoever wants to talk about whatever, we got that going on. You know, so that's what I've decided anyway. You cool with that?
Awesome. I love it. I love it. That makes sense. I guess I knew when I made the suggestion that, you know, 2 hours wouldn't be enough. I think I was just so excited about the possibility of talking about some of our giants that I didn't even consider the limited amount of time we would have spent on them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I was with that also until, you know, I started doing a little research and, you know, I'm like, man, just 2 hours is not going to be enough to do this, you know, so we need to spread it out a little bit. And I think that's what we're going to do. You know, it works that way, you know, so all my intellectual guests, all those that have knowledge, all those that are willing to do a little research and learn. Hey, you got all weekend, man, because we going deep into this thing next week. So I hope y'all ready. You do your homework. I'm going to be doing mine. I know my co-host going to be doing gonna do his. And next week, man, we're going to be rocking and rolling, talking about the giants, some of the giants of race. That's not a good word, but that's the way I'm using it right now. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about. Okay, now that we have that out of the way, it's time for the song of the day, y'all. And I'm telling you, I had a hard time picking songs today. I was riding, I heard one song, I said, yeah, that's it right there. Then I heard another song, I said, yeah, that's it right there. So then I got home, and I forgot those two songs. So then I had to go and find another song. And then I said, yeah, that's a good one. Then I heard another song. Like, yeah, that's... So I came up with one song, and you know, I almost turned it into All Music Day. But I know y'all not ready for that yet. Not coming from me anyway. But I think I got a good one for y'all today. And, you know, we're going to have us some fun. All right. So without further ado, man, here it is, y'all song of the day. And you know what we're going to do, y'all? We just going to let it whip. Here it is.
We'll be right back.
All right, man. That is Lady the Whip. I know it's kind of subdued than what we really would do, but hey, it sounded good to me at the time. All right. All right, man. I'm telling you. Oh,
there's a particular story I wanted to know if you got a chance to see it. I saw it yesterday. It's regarding the kid. I don't know if he's in Texas or not, but apparently he was caught selling brownies with marijuana in it, and he's facing life in prison.
Yeah.
I wish I was joking, but this is a real case.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Actually, I saw it last week, and I was waiting to see, you know, what else was going to go on with it before I brought it up. But that's a very good point. You know, that kind of goes along to what we were speaking about yesterday, talking about yesterday on the show, you know. And I have, I got a couple of things that to piggyback off of what we was just talking about when it came to the prisons yesterday, and I get to those in a moment. First, I got to give my shout outs to everybody that's around, that's here. We got a Minnie the Writer, Antoinette in the house, my chat room coordinator. We got Ava Indiana, y'all know who that is, that man named Joe. Then we got Deep H2O in the house, Divine Design. Then we got guest 8 6 9 8 3 8 8 5, and of course we got you sure are crazy in the house also. So and then of course on the switchboard we got my co-host, then we got the anonymous 111, then we got my other half, Mrs. Talk on the line with me, and then we got Into Knowledge on the phone lines also. So welcome everybody to the show, and also want to welcome everyone that's listening on your different devices, what have you, and thank y'all for supporting the show, and we really appreciate it. Okay, all right, now if you want to be a part of the show, once again, get on the phone lines, 347-838-8622. You can email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com, or just join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right, so that's it now. And I see my co-host done brought it up anyway, so let me go and get these other couple of little nuggets in about the prisons that, like we were speaking yesterday, because we made some statements yesterday about, you know, how, you know, the system is set up to entrap our young people into you know, being placed behind bars. And I found an article. I found an article in the USAA Today where they were investigating the ATF, and this was dated June 28, 2013, and articles by Brad Heath of USAA Today, and it says ATF uses fake drugs, big bucks to snare suspects, and the gist of it is the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, better known as the ATF, the agency in charge of enforcing the nation's gun laws, has locked up more than 1,000 people by enticing them to rob drug stash houses that did not exist. The ploy has quietly become the key part of the ATF's crime-fighting arsenal, but also a controversial one. The stings are so aggressive and costly that some prosecutors have refused to allow them because they skirt the boundaries. You hear that? They skirt the boundaries of entrapment, and in the past decade, they have left at least 7 suspects dead. I mean, this is a big, big article, man, and I'm going to skip down to some of it. Let's see. Here's how the stings work, okay? Well, first, a judge in Chicago, Judge Richard Posner of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, dismissed the drug house stings as a disrespectable tactic that creates an increased risk of entrapment because of the potential for the extensive use of inducements and unrealistic temptations to encourage the suspect's criminal conduct. And here's how the sting works, y'all. When agents identify someone they suspect is ripping off drug dealers, they send in an undercover operative posing as a disgruntled courier or security guard to pitch the idea of stealing a shipment from his boss. The potential score is almost always more than 5 kilograms of cocaine, enough drugs to fetch hundreds of thousands of dollars on the street or to trigger sentences of 10 years or more in prison. When the target shows up ready to commit the robbery, he and anyone else he brings with him are arrested and charged with a raft of federal crimes, the most serious of which is conspiring to sell the non-existent cocaine. Did y'all hear that? I mean, it's right here. I mean, oh my goodness. You know, but here's my question, and they got it. How are they arresting people for crimes that never happened? See, once again, you know, we go back to that thing. You know, the system is set up to get you. They're arresting people for crimes that never happened.
It's like Minority Report.
Yeah. I mean, that is just wild, man. And, you know, that goes back to what we're saying. You know, a lot of people just are being set up, or as they say, just riding along with someone. They may not know what's going on, but they just happen to ride with them, and then what happened? They caught up in the wash also. So, you know, just to let you know, that it's out there. You know, it's not something that's being made up by us here on blog, you know, on Let's Talk or anything else. You know, it's evidence that that's going on, and we have to be aware of that. And I know some people going to say, well, you know, if they wouldn't have been thinking about it, yeah, right. But, you know, some things seems to be just a little bit, you know, as they say, everybody has their price. So, you know, temptation gets the best of a lot of, especially young folk, young people. So, you know, you just have to be careful. But there's the evidence right there that, you know, a lot of it are nothing but setups. And, you know, here's a case where a lot of individuals are being arrested and they haven't really committed a crime. But yet, you know, they're being set up to where they have to spend at least 10 years in prison. And, of course, we know what that means. They're going to somebody's private prison. Well, some big, large company is going to make money off of them by making different things, especially the military, you know, as we said, the helmets and stuff like that. So, it just goes all the way around. They say the government not involved. Oh, yeah, the government is involved big time. So that's what we have. You know, that's what I got to say. Also, there's one other thing I want to say. You know, and we're going to talk about Iraq, then I'm going to let my co-host take over and whoever's on the switchboard, because I kind of got a sore throat, so I'll be all right, though. But anyway, you know, of course, you knew there was only a matter of time to, you know, they brought in the topic of weapons of mass destruction when discussing Iraq and the ISIS, you know, supposedly militants. And they have supposedly taken over a warehouse where weapons of mass destruction was stored or are stored, and they're encased in concrete. Now, I got to thinking about that. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, we knew there was going to be instance where they're going to kick it up because, you know, they got to throw the keywords in there now to justify sending so-called peacekeepers over there to Iraq. And then I thought about it. And I sat here and I just had a great thought. And here what it was. We always claiming someone has weapons of mass destruction. And we are afraid of them having weapons of mass destruction. But has anyone ever sat down and thought about, we have more weapons of mass destruction than anyone in the world? But we always claiming somebody else is going to, but we have more than anyone else. Go figure that out. No, but we never say we have more than nobody's over here trying to stop us from using ours. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying, sometimes you got to flip that coin over and take a real look at it. Because it's not as two-sided, it's not as one-sided as some people make you think. Oh, and, of course, they've got knuckleheads down in Atlanta who possibly have exposed themselves to anthrax. I don't know how that works. You know, how does that work? How do you not know that you're possibly exposing yourself to anthrax? And all that nonsense we done went through after 9/11 and supposed scares and all that. These are scientists working with this stuff every day. And you mean to tell me you don't know the proper procedure? You don't know the proper procedure? It's just hilarious, man. It's just amazing at how they throw this stuff out there. But, man, I tell you, we're not supposed to be able to think. That's what it is. We're not supposed to be thinking on this stuff. You know, we're supposed to just be going by what they say and then just be happy with that. Well, I tell y'all what, they full of crap. You know, you know, they full of crap. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm leaving that alone. And I'm through with my role for the day. That's it, man. I only had 30, not even full 30 minutes of rambling to do today because, hey, it's Friday, y'all. It's Friday, right? Right. All right. So, Hakeem, you got anything you want to add to any of that before I let this call in right here?
Oh, no. I'm waiting to listen to see who's coming in.
All righty then. Well, then let's not keep here everybody waiting. Let's bring it on in. All right, caller 111, welcome to the show. Happy Friday to
you. Wow, I'm the only one, man. I'm the only one in the queue.
Well, you're the only one with your hand up.
Oh, only right. With my hand up. Right, exactly. What's up, gentlemen? It's a beautiful day here in Maryland. Beautiful day here in Baltimore.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Beautiful day. Perfect weather. Perfect weather here.
Yeah. I understand. It's perfect weather here, too.
I wish it was like this all year round. Yeah. Not too hot, not too breezy.
Yeah, but see, you got to deal with that humidity. That would get a lot of individuals, you know, and depending on what coast, you know, depending on what coast you're on, that humidity can hurt you, boy, I tell you.
Right down in Texas, yes, y'all humidity is higher than, you know, than other parts of the nation. Yes, it's real hot down there.
Yes, sir. So what you got for me today, Mike? I know you've been listening. So go, let's do it. Let's get started, man. Let's rock and roll.
Well, no, I would just listen to your comments. Now, when I make these comments, that's not meaning I'm co-signing or I agree with it. I'm just making a statement. I mean, the United States are just scared of, you know, the all those Arab countries becoming nuclear because they just, you know, they try to compare them to the suicide bombers. And they're just scared that they may one day just out of the blue bomb Israel, or you know, it's fear. I know it's a bias. You know, Russia and the United States during the arm race, we were the two countries who, you know, built our nuclear power. That's why we are a superpower. When they say superpower, they're talking about the military, not just about the economy. They're talking about that military too. It is what it is. America is just plain old scared and fearful. And that's just what it is. That's just why. I know it's a bias or what have you, but hey, that's all I got to say about that, Mr. Talk, about the weapons of mass destruction.
So what you're saying is America is just frightened that somebody else is going to have more than them. That's basically what you're saying?
Well, not more than them. They will never have more than us. They will never, I mean, those Arab countries not going to have no more nuclear bombs than Russia, because we're trying to, you know, get rid of our nuclear. I mean, we have so many. When they say we want to get rid of 5,000 nuclear bombs, I mean, we got 20. I mean, we got hundreds of thousands of nuclear bombs. What I'm saying is they don't want them to get one because they can, you know, I guess bomb Israel, have a, you know, atomic bomb, you know, bomb Israel, something like that. And it goes, and I must say, you cannot separate the religious and the ancient traditions and the ancient conflicts. It's still resonating today. That's a piece of it. That's all I'm saying, you know. So, but, if, you know, if they get it, let them get it. But that's why they're just worried about them, you know.
Oh, okay.
And, right.
But you know, I have a question for you, and the rest of the panel. You know, you mentioned something about the United States being a superpower. But can you really consider the United States a superpower now?
Yes.
Why? What makes it such a
Well, first of all, the euro is not doing better than the dollar. The dollar is doing one-third better than the euro. So our money is still, all these blog talk radios talking about the money, $100 bill is still real. It still can pay for things. But I'm just looking at the economics, the way we're, when world affairs happen, United States is always in the mix, okay, in our weaponry, our military. That what makes us a superpower. It's just a fact.
Okay.
I mean,
okay, so that's what the two things are, basically the criteria. You got to have a lot of money that's valuable worldwide, and you can have the biggest military.
Right.
Right.
Right, exactly. That's what just makes us a superpower.
But yet,
if the American economy collapses, it will cause a domino effect around the world. So I'm letting you know, if America economy collapses, you know, money wise or what have you, this big doomsday, it's going to be a doomsday around the world, because this is a global economy. We always talk about, our nation's economy, how blacks should be build businesses, but that all of our economy, import and export, it's a global economy. So we all affect each other. It's a small world. So, you know.
But if, okay, it's a small world, but if I'm not mistaken, a lot of the other countries and nations are now beginning to try and move away from the dollar.
They've been trying it for years, but it's not going to happen. See, everybody had their different types of money. They've been trying it for years. I'm just saying the dollar's doing better than the euro. They were trying to get all the nations to come together with this euro. Right now, the dollar that you have in your pocket is doing better than that.
But is that saying a whole lot? Or is that just, you know, a way of pacifying or basically saying that, okay, right now the dollar's doing better, but overall, you know, you cannot really consider the United States a superpower at all. I mean, you know, yes,
a superpower then? Okay, if United States is not a superpower, use the word. It has no definition.
All right, since you just want to get hyped already, I can slow your hypeness, all right? Now, I'm using what you said. You said military, a large military. Well, it is known that there are a lot of other countries out there with bigger militaries than we have here in the United States. Now, yes, we may be a little bit more technologically advanced and have newer equipment. Now, I mean, but you know, we may be considered the world's police, as you say, but I don't know if we are the superpower that everybody wanted us to, thought we were back in the day. If you move fast forward now, I don't believe we're a superpower, you know, because we have too much. If we were such a superpower, I don't know, Michael. I don't think we would be too worried about terrorists and all that stuff coming on our own soil, you know. Because I think, you know, we have fear in everyone else. I don't think that fear is there anymore. You know, but go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, how are we going to use the terminology? If I don't look at Russia, the United States as a superpower, I'm going to ask you, is there, quote-unquote, a country? What does superpower mean when someone makes that statement?
Well, you're the one brought it up. You tell me. What does it mean?
It clearly means that the country's right. It clearly gives the definition, and that's why we've always looked at Russia and the United States as the world's superpower, because of the economy. Now, I realize that Russian economy was doing rough in the past, but it's coming up, you know. They have the – I can't see the – now, you're saying a country has more men, but technologically and equipment-wise in advance of our military – I'm not talking about billions of men soldiers. I'm talking about the technology and the bombs, the nuclear bombs. See, we don't have to go – let's say we go in China. We don't have to go in China and send a 200,000-man group boots on the ground in China and inspect that billion. No, of course not. it's going to be some big bombs and, you know, things going on. So what I'm saying, I'm just hypothetically speaking, such as that. That's why we are a great military power, not the number of soldiers, but our equipment, our weaponry, our nuclear bombs.
Well, Michael, I always thought that, you know, economics is what made you a superpower, not your military strength.
Right, but right, and our economics still, even though we're in debt, still it runs the world. It helps run the world factually. So if you combine our military with our economy, let's say we don't have the best economy, but we have a mediocre economy, but we have a higher military strength, we're still going to be a superpower. Now, people talk about American economy like this is not the worst in the world.
Okay,
saying it has to be a combination of both, though. That's what I'm just saying.
Well, here it is. Superpower, according to the American Heritage Desk Dictionary, and it says a powerful or dominant nation, the leader of an international power bloc. Now, if you really look at it that way, that would be speaking more of, I would say, China, because China has a lot.
No.
Makes a whole lot of stuff that the whole world uses, and one flick of the switch, they can shut everything down. You never thought about that?
Listen. Let's go to your point, Mr. Talk. I know I'm speaking straight. You're still trying to fight me on this. The reason why China makes products for who? Americans. We're consumers. We consume more. We eat over 60% of the world's food. Us Americans. The rest of the world eat one-third. We eat two-thirds of the world food. We're greedy, I don't know what, we're consumers. You know what I'm saying? So they would not survive without America. It's a global economy. We need each other. Okay? Having said that, you still have to take about the international. Americans is always in international affairs, giving weapons to other countries. Obama want to strike Syria. What are we going to do? Ukraine? Come on. It's just the fact. That's why people blame stuff on America. That's why those urban cousins say this is a secular country. Blase this. Come on, man. We're hated around the world by other countries. And you know, some other countries want us to come and help them too. So, you know, we're in everything, man. We're a superpower by my just by that definition.
No, But before I let into a K in, well, you know, Mike, I think I don't know if that makes us a true superpower more than it makes us just arrogant fat asses. You know, excuse my language, but, you know, I don't think that has anything to do with it. But hold on before you get to huffing and puffing and can't breathe. Hold on. Let me bring knowledge in. And so he can get in on the conversation. Hold on. All right. Welcome to the show, Mr. Knowledge. How you doing today?
Hello, Mr. Talk and esteemed panel. How is everybody doing today on this Friday?
Good.
Doing wonderful.
Glad to hear that. I would just like to refute the complete idea that there is a such thing as a superpower. There is no such thing. There is a dominant culture. There's a dominant entity. If you want to translate or transliterate that into a superpower, then so be it. How many of you are watching the World Cup?
I'm watching it.
Did you know that politics are based off of that game?
Interesting. Continue on.
The reason why I said that is that when we have what the Romans called blood and circus, it shapes the cultural norms wherever you live. So whenever you have games which are translated into circus, that's where the word circus comes from. It comes from games. It comes from folly, playing, amusement. They all come from the same thing. So when we talk about a global power, when we talk about whose military is bigger and badder than somebody else's military, what are we really talking about? We are talking about men who want to get in a circle and measure the lengths of their dicks. That's what we're talking about. It's a play. Plato talked about it. Aristotle talked about it. Pharaoh's talked about it. It's dick play. Now, guess what we're missing is the goddess, the feminine entity that rules all of this shit, been stuffed in the casket, been pushed to the side, been slayed, laid, and decayed. And men want to sit around and talk about, okay, well, my dick's bigger than yours. Really? Really? Oh, I have a bigger weapon. Really? And guess what? All military weapons, if you actually look at them visually, are shaped like penises. Bullets, guns, missiles, rifles, you name it. Clips, they're all shaped like dicks. Men have a problem, and they're not dealing with it. And women have a problem, too, because they're not dealing with it. They're not taking their rightful place. Why do I have to listen, and not saying that I have to listen, but why are men talking about abortion? Why are men talking about hair weaves? Why are men talking about shit that has nothing to do with them? However, they want to give you a historical analysis. They want to create paralysis, and then they want to pontificate and extrapolate based on the information as to why it should be the way it is. And then women sit there and say, you know what? That's wrong. However, I'm going to continue to sing this song because I don't want to fight with you. And look around you in this world today. The shit is turned upside down. You got men trying to be the new woman. What the fuck is that about? You got men who are being better women than women are. Segue, Renee didn't mean to do a wordplay. However, I just wanted to bring that in when she gets on that homosexual tip, that gender bending, that fender.
Okay, I think enough of that. I don't know what's wrong with knowledge. Knowledge is on a whole different tip today.
May I please address something real quick, please, because this has to be academic. Please, unless you have some other callers, Mr. Carr, I have to address something, please.
Well, I mean.
it's about superpower. I'm staying on topic. Fact, right. I always do that. Y'all always get on me. Listen.
All right, go ahead.
Listen, we had to talk. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Michael. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Listen, people playing with words. How do words come into existence? Men and women create words. Something happens in life and we label it. Men label it. For instance, the word gridlock. There was a big traffic jam in L.A. one day. A reporter said, it's gridlock here. Now when we say gridlock, we imagine traffic jam. That's what gridlock is. When someone used the terminology superpower, come on, we have heard that terminology before. That is pitching, giving us a sense of what a country power is. Let's go back when people say Rome is still controlling everything, the Zionists, whatever these theories these people be keep on saying on Blog Talk. To me, that is a superpower. They're able to control stuff or have more control than other countries do. Policies. So that term superpower can be applied to certain countries. We always talk about America. It's in everybody's business. America's this. Americans controlling this. If you're going to say we control every damn thing, we damn near are a superpower then. That's all I wanted to say, academically.
Wow. I think we, I see that we have Beasley. I think he has his hand up as well. So I think we can let him in and see what Beasley has to say as well. Your line is open, Beasley.
Man, I'm not talking. I'm just listening. I if I have my hand up, it was by accident. Why is N2K Knowledge talking about penises so much, though?
Oh, I thought the ladies were talking about it.
I don't know. I just heard him just relating everything to penises, and then I'm not talking. I'm over here laughing. Let me enjoy myself. We're on the air.
Yes, we are.
Everybody. Okay. I'm trying not to participate. I'm on punishment. Okay. I used the magic word yesterday.
Okay, well, I'll put you back in the whole queue so you can continue to listen. I'm going to bring N2K back in.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, you live again, N2K.
Hopefully. It don't start till 7:30 tonight.
Hey, co-host, what do you think? What do you think about the terminology superpower?
It's one of those terms that I've heard in many discussions. So when you hear it in a lot of books, and hear it in a lot of some of the news circulation, different mediums. I've definitely heard the term used on a consistent basis. I really don't have a particular feeling towards it. I mean, it's been a term we've heard a lot, so I'm kind of used to hearing it. I'm always open to learning stuff, but whether it's right or wrong, I've heard it so frequently that I'm accustomed to relating it to like a lot of people to what happens. People that are the dominant cultures, so to speak.
Right. So do you think so my question is, can we, in that definition, in that sense, in that context of a superpower, can we label the United States and Russia as a superpower, in your opinion?
I mean, just in my opinion, I've honestly labeled it that way on a many times.
Oh, okay. So it's not
an opinion.
Right. Right, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
I will be honest. I could be wrong. I'm not gonna lie. I could be definitely wrong.
I don't
wrong,
think you are. I don't think you are. I don't think you
but
are.
But I have made that. Whether if it's an error, I've definitely made that error.
Well, but see, my argument is, if you say we're not a superpower, just don't get on America saying we in everybody business. Don't say that we can try to rule the world.
Yeah,
and we trying to be like a Roman Empire. It, come on.
Well,
you know,
I
to me it's contradictory. I think Rome was a superpower. I can define Rome as a superpower.
And they just haven't scored.
They're empire.
This has been a...
I just heard something go like, but I wanted, since we are talking about dominant cultures or superpowers, I wanted to kind of reflect on, I know a lot of you guys remember when... earlier on, when we got into the whole Gulf Coast incident, way back when it seems like when this Iraq war seemed to be new then, we've been in and out of there for so long, it's kind of old news, but I remember, they had if I'm not mistaken, there was some dealings with like the Iranian dictator of that time, dictator king, so to speak, who had fallen and was replaced by what they call radical mullahs. I don't know how they pronounce it, but we know that Israel Israel has grown, you know, over the years, and the United States has supported that move. And the Palestinians, they suffered and, you know, showed others like Bin Laden, you know, about the power of a single person wearing a homemade bomb. We saw the homemade bombs, in fact, being used all the way back in the war between, I believe it was France, and it was France, and I'm trying to remember who they were going to war against. They even made a film about it. It's going to come to my mind later on, but if you look at everything from, you know, how we demonstrated our brutality, we being in the U.S., against Panama, Haiti, and the Sudan, you know, when you reflect on 9/11 and Afghanistan and Iraq, you know, after so many years on this planet, you know, it seems that we as humans have, you know, failed to wean ourselves off this compulsion to subjugate and slaughter our brothers and sisters. And there's been like a gory of crusades which were not related to the past, based on a lot of this stuff. And Mike, what's your thoughts on some of the horrific elevated military violence that reached new levels of horror, you know, from your vantage point? You know, I mean, it seems like Washington is becoming more and more.
Hasn't war always been gruesome, though?
Yeah, right. It has.
Since World War II.
Can you imagine the Civil War when they'd have, you know, 100,000 troops on one side, like something like Gettysburg or Antietam or all of those other battles, the Battle of Bull Run, but Antietam in particular, I think 20,000 people died in a 24-hour period, Antietam in Maryland. I mean, we're talking about bayonets. We're talking about, you know, close-up gunfire, you know, getting hit with the butt of a gun, probably, you know, even cut with the sword. Talk about gruesome. War's always been gruesome.
Well, I think what he's saying, World War II changed everything just because it said civilian casualties. Military intentionally bombed cities where they knew civilians were going to be there. Before that, I think soldiers fought soldiers. Hey, we're going to go at this particular place and we're going to fight it out. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. War will evolve like everything else, not just the technology. But remember, we still having the same conflict. I forgot the co-host's name. Psychologically, religiously, we're still having the same problem since ancient of times. Only thing that is advanced is our military capability, technology. That's it.
You were right, Alfax, when you were speaking of a superpower. I don't know why anybody's giving you a hard time, because the term superpower doesn't really apply to economics as much as it does to the military might. And at one point, the United States and Russia were neck and neck, although the Soviet Union, then the Soviet Union fell apart in 1989, 1990, and everything changed. The United States was the dominant superpower, and that looks like that's changing now because of the economic might and the population, just the huge population of China.
Mm-hmm.
China earns enough money now that they can buy whatever. They can modernize real quick. They're building cities that nobody lives in. I mean,
right,
imagine
that. But one good thing that we have, right, but one good thing about technology, right, right, but
they've
we gave them what they
too.
Have. Right, but we gave them what they have. So if we give somebody something, see, if I give somebody something, I already have something better than that. Hopefully,
what
I think that's
that?
What we did.
Well, they've
because they sold our
the
technology.
Market.
We did give them our technology, but in technology, let's say that we are advanced and we say, well, we can just give them this, but we already 5 or 6 years advanced. We're just going to give out, like, we just give our old airplanes to Israel or other countries because we already advanced. But,
technology,
you know, they still allow that shit, though. Right.
The technology and the know-how, I guess it comes from, you know, specialized schools. They come here and get educated.
But, see, that China economic needs America is because we're a special group of people here. We don't have our children, I mean, on the sidewalk starving with flies around them. We consumers.
Shit,
we eat a lot
of
things. We're American, right, compared
some
to
people
other people
are.
In the world. So that other country needs us to consume their products. So, it works together. If America fails, it's a global economy. If America fails, they're going to fail. Because you gotta realize China has 1 billion people, but only 2/3 is in rural. Only that 1/3 lives like America. That 300 million lives like us. You got a whole rural area with traditions where they're not gonna come out.
They'll slowly catch up, but they'll never really totally catch up because they've got such an oppressive government.
Right.
They got such an oppressive government, but who knows what'll happen? Who knows what'll happen? Just enjoy the time that you're here. Because none of us are going to be here forever. Or maybe even 100, or maybe even 75 years from now. Maybe Akeem, if he gets lucky.
I want to talk about real quick the guy with with the marijuana, with the brownies. Now, listen to me. If those people did not know that brownies had marijuana, he should get a lot of fucking time. Life, I don't think. But he should get hammered. He should get hammered. You don't do nobody like that, if that's the case.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, he said somebody was, you know, selling, you know, brownies with marijuana and giving it to people.
Yeah, it was,
did the people know?
In Texas, it was a 19-year-old in Texas who's currently, I think it's Georgetown, Texas, if I'm not mistaken. And he's facing life in prison for possession of a 1.5 pound, I think,
They don't play in Texas. You'll get time for spitting on the sidewalk.
But life in prison. Now that's
his name is Jacob Lavaro, if I'm not mistaken. Is the kid's name. And then the brownies contained hash oil and marijuana buds.
What happened to N2K knowledge? He was talking about and penises.
Well, N2K's mic is open.
Oh, okay.
He might have muted himself.
Talking
so.
With somebody.
He was saying these things. Listen, I hear all this stuff on YouTube. They got this guy on YouTube. They say when you go in the chapel, they have an arch. That arch, and the reason why that arch is because of the head of man penis and stuff like that. I've heard that on YouTube. I'm like, come on,
but
man. I thought arch is geometrically balanced. You have to do it in the arch because of the balance of the when they build this stuff in an arch like that, it's more strength. It's more sturdy. It's geometry. That's just not why they do that.
He just brought up the blue and everything, and I was just hoping Renee was around to save him before it's too late. If it ain't too late already, it's probably too late.
Yeah. Hey, Price, that's the
What's wrong with you?
That's that YouTube stuff, man. Wow. People go along with it, bro. They mix fact. I mean, some of it is factual. Of course, people rule and their ideas rule the world, but then they go a little step further, start calling them lizards. They come from another planet and stuff like that. I'm like, whoa, reptilian. Then they say that woman have, I'm listening to this, a woman has the X and the X, and she came with the Y, and the woman was first, and all this type of stuff. I mean, they get real deep into that stuff. So that's why I say sometimes you got to say, hold up, what's going on here? You know, you start, you know, confusing things. So, but I've heard that before, though.
So that's not news to you, basically.
No, it's me, it's fairy tale. It's like a cultist type thing. You know, it's just something that to get the people's minds thinking. Listen, it's fact that, of course, the Roman Catholic affects people because people believe in Jesus Christ. It might affect their politics, how they look upon a person. Of course, anybody's ideas. You know, a hustler has his ideas on the street corner. You know, that has a part of the world. But what I'm saying, they go far-fetched. They go out into the realm. Why are they going to say somebody's a lizard, somebody's an alien? I don't understand that.
I did want to ask you guys, get your guys' thoughts on, and I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this on the news recently or not, but Argentina's president recently had a nice some interesting things to say about the U.S. Who came at her about some funds that Argentina owes basically to the investors of the bonds and the loans that they've given to Argentina and their economy. And apparently the investors decided that they wanted to be paid effectively immediately, and I'm talking about billions and billions of dollars. One particular person is owed, I believe, maybe 500 or so million, a U.S. investor. And the president told the U.S. and those investors who wanted to collect that basically you're not getting anything at the end of the case. I'm not paying you. Period. They said they wanted to be paid first, but she said she has other people who – other debtors, other people who
no,
she has to pay.
No, that's a lie. No, you have to pay the primary first, even on the second mortgage. Who gets paid first, the primary, then the secondary? She – no, that's business. Obama letting her get away with this? You got to pay the first – I mean, come on, you got to pay the first one first. That's a fact. She can't say that.
I was interested because – I think Argentina is going to be a place to watch after that. After her saying that, I'm really interested in seeing how this is going to play out down the road, and how Argentina is going to start to look in the media coming, going down the line. Because when she made that comment, it was bold and it surprised me. And I was at that moment, I started to wonder what was going to happen to this particular president.
Are we losing our superpower status?
Sounds like it, huh?
But I'm saying they don't even do that on the mortgage, on the regular business. I mean, individual, you can't do that. That's crazy.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I'm just like, man, you can't bite the hand that feeds you. So I guess he bite, and I guess they think that. And I mean, that's how people do in real life, though. You ever lend somebody money? And they say, come back. Well, I had to pay this first. I got to get you back. Hold up. You owe me some money. Come on. That's crazy.
I thought it was interesting.
Nah. Even on a personal level, forget international, we're going to have some problems. So.
Yeah, in fact,
say give no foreign aid. If you're not in the military, yeah, I wouldn't give no military over this. I just say cut off foreign aid. Don't give no assistance. None whatsoever from America. None.
I just want to read a little bit from it. It said Argentina could face a debt default by June 30th. It says that the country's second in 13 years, President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner said her country will not be able to pay fines imposed by the U.S. Supreme Court in connection with the previous default. And her response was, what I cannot do as president is submit the country to such extortion. That's what she said in her her national address this past Monday. And the U.S. Supreme Court basically has ordered Argentina to pay $1.5 billion to NML, as a company, capital, a hedge fund, and subsidiary of Elliott Capital Management by June 30th. So Argentina must pay up to $907 million or risk losing the ability to pay bond holders through Argentina's bank in the United States and the Bank of New York, Milan.
Right, because that's going to mess our credit up, right?
Exactly.
Right, that's going to mess up that country. See, you got to look at these countries, and what's easy for me, look at these countries like individuals. They still got a balance. They still got the, just like your personal stuff. You see what I'm saying? It makes it easier that way. I mean, for me. That's crazy, though.
It was one of those stories that caught my attention. I had to ask about it because,
At least you could have offered for a payment plan, just to say no.
You got to call Obama. Like, come on, man. Like, it's a payment plan or something. It's crazy. Well, that's
politics. Yeah, apparently those the hedge fund owner, he didn't want to do a payment plan. He wanted his payment now. He didn't want to wait for a payment plan. He wanted it paid in full, basically. And
I'm just saying on her part. You know, I give you a third, and you know, work with me. But hey, I don't think no. Do you think military action for something like this?
Absolutely not.
Right,
freeze the funds. Yeah, that's definitely not. It's not war worthy. You know, another interesting thing that happened in the news, and I'm sure you've heard about this. I think this one has probably been all over the social networks, but. A particular guy who's they did some memes of this particular guy who I don't know what he was convicted of, but this guy's been like all over the news because of his mugshot, and I think a lot of women being excited about this guy's mugshot, so it's become a headline for some reason. But
what's going on? No, what happened?
Apparently, some guy that was arrested. I don't know the whole story. I can read a little bit about it, but apparently, it's been all over every news channel. I think the guy's name is I don't see where his name is, but the article that I read said that basically in a week, this particular guy was I think his name is Jeremy Meeks, 30-year-old California man who was arrested Wednesday and is currently facing 5 weapons charges and 1 gang charge. He's also now a viral star thanks to that scorching hot mugshot the Stockton Police Department posted Wednesday. So that's what the article says. So it's a guy whose mugshot appeared I guess a lot of people liked it, so he's a viral sensation based on his mugshot.
Wow, so his mugshot went viral.
Right.
Can I interject?
I love you. Get some money.
Can I interject?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
It was you, right, in 2K?
Yeah. Is this what you black people talk about? You can't fix a problem. You can identify a problem. You can acknowledge a problem, but you can't do shit about it. At the end of the day, it's all conversation. Now, the reason why I said that is, somebody said to me, oh, N2K, you want some other shit. You on another platform. Yeah, you know why? Because I'm sick and tired of listening to black people who have no solutions but can always identify the problem. And when they come with a solution, whether it be geopolitical, whether it be economical, whether it be religious, they can't solve the riddle. Now, here's the riddle. A wise man knows that he really knows nothing at all. How many of you are wise? And how many of you will take up that flag? I'll be the first to admit, I don't know shit. But at the end of the day, when I have something to say, I'll do it with conviction. Not in the sense that I'm trying to convince you to think a certain way. But what I will tell you as we walk through the venue is that look at yourself. and ask yourself one really simple question. What am I doing to change the things that I see before me? Now, I have to take up that task. I have to wear that mask. I have to understand that it's not just for me to demand. But what I have to do in this whole process is understand, hey, I got to think on my own. It's not about being on the throne. It's not about kings or queens, because those coupons can't be redeemed. And at the end of the day, after I get to say everything I want to say, it might not mean a hill of beans to you or you or you or you. But the fact of the matter is, what do you think about you? And I'm done.
Well, that's not always true. First of all,
you got to think about yourself and others at the same time, because we all impact each other. And the reason why we have dialogue, because, you know, we're going to take some action in this world, whether you're on this show or not. And, you know, I'm quite sure when everyone hangs up the phone, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. But while we're here talking, people are going to bring their ideas and their concepts and question and say this. And at the end of the day, people can do what they want. No one's forcing a gun to no one's head, making them do anything whatsoever. And it's good to dialogue about the topics and about the concepts or what have you. But we all try to convince each other. I'm quite sure if I have employees one day, I may have to motivate them and convince them and try to put some incentives involved, and I might have to think about my employees. It's just the way it is. So, I mean, you know, everything starts with a dialogue. We've been doing this since from ancient of time. When you talk about the solution, well, it can be many solutions to a problem. Talking about M2K, you hear people always stating the problems. That's why I said yesterday, okay, we know the problem, then what are we going to do? So we will not be a part of that prison industrial system, that mechanism, that machine that's going in and out. Brothers going, what can you do personally? That's the solution. But it's never, I can never tell nobody to go right or left. You can dialogue and you choose. You made the choice. At the end of the day, you're going to make the choice. But the dialogue is educational and entertaining. Entertaining. That's why I'm talking. That's all.
You know, a real good way to avoid the pitfalls of the criminal justice system is to not commit crimes. See, people talk about everything else, about how people are framed. Yeah, people are framed. Yeah, people can get pushed a certain way. You can't tell me that somebody entices you to rob a non-existent drug house, like he said that the ATF is doing with people, that you don't have some type of criminality or some type of wrongdoing in your heart. You know, it's just like those cars that you see. What's the TV show?
Yeah.
Where they hop in the car, you know, the car has the keys in it,
yeah,
and
yeah,
running
exactly,
somewhere,
yeah.
And they hop
so
in the
that,
car.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. they're kind of getting entrapped. If the car wasn't there, they wouldn't do it. But shit, if I saw a car right there, I'm not hopping in it. Are you?
Well, I want to go back to the situation.
You bear responsibility for your own choices, and I'm sure there's tons of people that walk past those cars and don't do anything. What about? I mean. Well, I guess this isn't a good example, but what about the people that are talking to people on the internet, and they tell and they're flirting with them, whatever, and having some kind of little, you know, sex talk, and the person on the other end tells them I'm 13 years old, and they pursue it and they continue to do it. Are they being entrapped? Yeah, if somebody wasn't out there being a decoy, they wouldn't have gotten entrapped. But shit, wrong is wrong. People don't speak to that. And you're not, and I'm not speaking as somebody with a halo around my head.
Well, I'm not going to go in the ghetto and put $1 million of cash in the middle of the street and expect nobody to take it. That's crazy. But what I'm saying is the situation, Mr. Talk, I have to think about my sons and even myself. You still have to not prejudge. You have to judge your friends. And hopefully you're not around nobody that's going to take you or pick you up after they did a little caper or did some shit. Somebody that would do you and involve you. If anybody's going to do something bad, don't. If you got friends, don't involve your friends. Don't involve. You're going to do something, do it by yourself. Don't involve no motherfucking body else. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
I'm not telling nobody to do crime. I'm back. Now, let me clarify.
Why would you say that, BZ? I'm not telling nobody to do no crime.
I just say, hold on, Michael. Thank you. Now, let me clarify something. Now, Beasley, the examples that you just gave, that's fine. You know, yes, they're actually committing the crime. They're doing the crime. So, yes, they deserve, and I watched that little show, too, and you're right. I deserve it because they're some dumb behinds. You know, especially when you got your boys on the standing in the background telling you, man, that's a cop car, that's a cop car. But, no, they climb their behind and ride anyway. They're committing a crime, yes. They deserve what they get. But what I was talking about with the ATF is these individuals haven't committed a crime. The thought of committing the crime was there. That's what it was. But they didn't. They didn't steal any cocaine. They didn't do anything. But yet they're still being charged as if they actually committed the crime.
If you talk about it, that's conspiracy.
Oh, okay. So,
hold on, that's the truth. If you and I talk about doing something, even if the action doesn't happen, that's conspiracy.
But then again,
people are in prison on conspiracy.
But that's okay to do it, right? That's what you.
No. Conspiracy mustn't.
I'm not asking you either. God dang it, because I'm talking now. I'm going to let y'all talk for about 30-something minutes, and y'all drove me crazy. Now, I'm talking, okay? Look, it's simple. You know, I understand nobody is perfect, and I understand there are those out there that have criminal mind, and the first chance they get at taking advantage of anything, of anyone, they will do it. That's fine. But in the same token, we have to really look at this thing. Everybody isn't as guilty as it makes you seem. Now, Michael says, well, be careful who you hang out with. Well, okay, that's fine. But who are the parents hanging out with? You know, so, yes, it's part of the judicial system because, yes, they're setting traps. They are. And we talked about why they do it. They're doing it yesterday. We started talking about the private prisons and things of that nature. We know that. So why are we all of a sudden going to try and reverse it and say, well, we already know this. This common sense. It's common sense. Now, yesterday, Michael brought up a good point. You know, well, talk to your kids, whatever. And I, at the end of the show yesterday, I say, well, sometimes, you know, you have to go all the way back to the parents. Because the kids a lot of times imitate the parents. But to make excuses for all this other nonsense, really? No. Don't tell me about conspiracy. Because I can be conspiring in my mind right now to hurt somebody. Don't nobody know it, though. You know what I'm saying? Unless somebody comes and say, hey, man, let's do that. But these are, and see, here's the thing. These are actually federal police, I guess you want to call them. Whatever you want to say. What do you want to call them? ATF agents. Okay, ATF agents. They put the idea out there. And today's kids, let's be honest, they're all about the fast buck. We know this. We live it every day. And some of them make bad choices, that's true. But damn, do we need the help of our government to help them make the bad choices? So don't get here and sit here and try and give me holier than thou and they should do this because that's bull crap. The government shouldn't be out there enticing them. And if anything, they should be trying to get them going to a damn school But yet they're trying to get them to rob a crack house or cocaine house so they can put them behind bars. That's right. I don't sit here and listen to y'all now. I'm listening. I'm talking. Because it's nonsense. It is. And Mr. Knowledge, you know, you made a great point, sir. But here's another side of the story also. Before you can come up with a solution, you have to actually discuss the problem. And it just don't take one or two discussions to figure out what's going on.
Agreed.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, I understand the part about, you know, where is. Okay, all right, so I'm just putting it out there. All right, so now, I've listened to most of y'all, you know, y'all gave me a headache, so I had to go and medicate.
But guess what? After you get that headache and then you medicate, then you might need to take a drink.
Yeah, well, we ain't going to go that far
something,
yet.
Of something. Of something.
But let me bring on Pianki and Renee.
Oh, here's my man, Pianki. Yes.
All right. Welcome to the show, Pianki and Miss Renee. How y'all doing today?
Hey, I'm good. I'm getting over being sick.
What's going
and
on,
my baby,
Pianki? What's
Renee.
Going on, Renee?
That's my baby.
All right. So, what y'all got for me today?
Mrs. Hawk, I agree with you 150%. I completely disagree with Beasley when he talks about just don't commit crimes and all this kind of stuff. I mean, are we really, like, going to say that? I mean, let's be honest. America, what? Are we number one in locking up our own citizens? It's something, some ridiculous number.
Yes,
and,
we are number one. We imprison more people by population. We only make up 2-5% of the population. I'm just segueing. And we imprison more people than any country in the world. Go on, my sister.
Okay. Exactly. So, you know, with that being said, come on now. It's not that it's just that much going on. I mean, it is. Trust me, it is. But nowadays, they're finding more and more and more and more things that they can lock you for up easily. They have mandatory minimums now. They're coming off the wall with all kind of crazy stuff. And if you are someone who happens to be a black male, okay, you already have a target on your back. Because if something happens, they're going to say, he did it. So who is he going to be? More than likely, it's going to be a black male, okay? We know that this happens. This is not crazy. We know about the crack-to-cocaine ratio. So you can say, well, don't do a crime, but also let's take in consideration unemployment. Let's take in consideration poverty and all these things. I know for a lot of people who may have had a different life or may not be aware of what some people in this country go through, it's very easy to say, oh, well, go to school and go to college and do this and do that. First of all, slow down. It's hard enough in a lot of these areas for kids to have clothes to even wear to school, okay? There was a little boy, he was at the grocery store one day. This boy had to be like 7 or 8 years old, and he's walking around asking people for money. This is up in the daytime. He should have been at school. And I could tell that he, you know, whoever was taking care of him was not feeding him, cleaning him, whatever. And I was like, wow. Of course, I did what I could for him and try to talk to him, but I didn't want to embarrass him. And the thing about it is, though, this happens all over this country. And so kids are already at a disadvantage, okay, and it's very easy then to fall into trying to get quick money, all right? I know that people should inherently know to do good, but that's not realistic. So when you talk about don't do crime, that's hard. I mean, that's kind of hard to say because sometimes you can be set up into a crime. Sometimes you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the darker your skin is, the more likely something like that could happen to you.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad you were there with me. Uh-oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Okay.
I just want to say I have sons, and they're not going to come into that house and tell me their father, someone made them do something. I understand what you're talking about, Renee. I agree. In certain cases, it is entrapment. But I'm just saying we have to prevent this stuff. And don't say nobody made that peer pressure. You got to spit on that peer pressure and educate these kids. And I'm just saying, just be aware. Know what's going on. If you getting yourself in a situation, try to know what's going on. If someone's being entrapped, because you know, just the knowledge of, you know, trying to go on and do something illegal, is not right. A friend is going to tell you what's going on. If a friend doesn't tell you what's going on, they're not no friend.
All your friends ain't friends. At the end of the day,
right?
At the end of the day. And I'm not speaking as some Dudley Do-Right. I'm not going to talk all about my life, but looking back, most things are avoidable. And if you're operating on principles, on principles, you have a better chance of avoiding that. Anybody can get caught up into something. Mr. Talk said something that he could dream of a conspiracy in his mind. That's not a conspiracy.
Right,
and
exactly.
There are conspiracy laws. And if you're going to be out here in the world ignorant, okay, and not knowing what's going on and not knowing when you're committing a crime, I've known people that were doing things like that they thought were in the gray area of the law, and then when those people came around to talk to them, they told on themselves instead of just being quiet. They explained what they were doing because they didn't think it was illegal. Let me finish. Ignorance of the law is not any
defense
at all.
Those other factors
that she mentioned, yeah, it's true. That's part of our society. There are people, and I bump into them, that come up, and I'm like, dang, when you hear their story, you know, that so-and-so, you know, the mother was a drug addict, the father was in prison, the grandmother was looking after X amount of the kids, they were in foster home. I get to thinking, I'm just like, wow, I'm blessed, because some people really don't have a chance. It's hard to come up out of that. But the alternative of not coming out of that is a miserable life of in and out in prison and poverty. And
right.
You have to try to make some choices, and it's hard. I'm not saying that it's easy at all. But the reality is if walking the straight path, and I haven't walked the complete straight path, but walking the straight path, you have a better chance of avoiding prison and the prison industrial complex and everything that comes with it. That's all I'm saying. And you should be strong enough that nobody can come up to you and try to
put like this. Life is hard.
Lay a plan down for you, and you're gullible enough to bite.
Listen to me. I'm gonna say this about myself.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to say real quick, and this goes for me. Life is hard when you're stupid. It can be real hard. We can make yourself hard when you do stupid stuff. That's all I wanted to say.
But see,
right.
when you say someone should know based on what? I mean, it's very easy to say
you should know because your very survival and well-being depends on it. At the end of the day, Renee, a person, a man, a woman, has to take responsibility for their well-being. And your well-being is going to be determined by the choices that you make and the choices that you don't make and your ability to have some vision and see through some stuff, even if you don't have
that.
So all of those other factors out there, as real as they may be and as true as they – if somebody came up to me trying to get me to conspire to do some shit and I don't know them, and even if I do know them, I'm going to go tell them to go to hell that you look like – what the hell are you talking about?
Well, see, that's the thing, what I'm saying, though. You were saying – okay, I agree with what you just said 150%. That's true. Life is rough, and it's going to depend on what you do as a person, but I was just making the point that we have a lot of people – whose circumstances end up dictating something else. And if you are that child that comes up in that environment, you got to do it then. You got to completely go in circles to try to get yourself on the right track whereas other people may already be there. But I wanted to say, too, there's a documentary, I think, oh, I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's about people who were exonerated, who were innocent, okay? And the amount of people who were put in prison, who were innocent, was astounding.
I think I brought that up to you. I think I brought that up to you here or somewhere else. When you were talking about people, when you were talking about penalties for certain folks that commit in certain types of crime, it was you or somebody else that I bump heads with, and I mentioned that. I think it was you that there were that the Innocence Project has through DNA evidence has got 18 people off of death row and released, and over 300 people accused of all types of horrible crimes where they had served on average of 13 years. People do get railroaded, man. There's some people do get railroaded in the same respect. Some people are menaces and terrors to society. And they belong in prison.
You know what?
Just to make it safer for the rest of us.
I talked to a brother from D.C. real quick.
See, that's easy. Wait a minute. That's easy to say. I'm going to shoot a person who gets railroaded. And this has happened to a lot of people. It's not only is it the Innocence Project, it's a lot of other projects out here. They're, I think, the biggest name involved with
they've been the most successful with DNA evidence. They're scientists.
Right.
A lot of people commit crimes and don't go to jail at all.
Financial crimes. That's what I was going to say.
Most of the biggest crooks out here, okay, are living in mansions and driving nice cars, and they will never be in prison.
You got people in the hood that go out and shoot folks. Won't nobody snitch on them. Witnesses don't come forward. The sucker that ran in my fence, I ain't found him yet.
You got way.
I was going to ask you guys this question real quick. Hold on.
Go ahead, Akeem.
Oh, okay. Has anyone ever watched or got a chance to see the, I believe CNN does something called Heroes? I just want to know because I'm going to get to my point if anybody has ever seen it. No one has ever seen it.
People that do some real courageous type stuff that help people that are in stress, a car accident or stop a crime. Yeah, here I've seen it a couple times.
Okay, cool. Well,
I don't like
the reason. I usually don't catch it on cable because I don't have cable, but it is on CNN's website. And first time I got a chance to watch it, and discovered it, I happened upon it, and I thought about the era in which people like W.E.B. Du Bois and the Booker T. Washington and that whole era where you had not just a community, but you had just communities and individuals who were cultivating positive change. Whether it was influencing their direct environment or they did other things to help people collectively. And I say that to say that there are always going to be, cases where, people aren't being helped. We know that. But there are also things that we all can do, and I know some are already doing it, collectively, individually, that where we can impact and influence people around us and stop certain things from happening directly. And then there are cases like the stuff that you guys are talking about where people aren't in those positions. And I think when you see more and more people who make a decision, who see certain issues to impact wherever they are at some capacity, I think it helps a whole lot. I think the problem oftentimes is that, the collective, doing things collectively is harder to do now because you have so many individuals with different thought processes and different methodologies, and so you have this bumping of heads that continues to happen, such as simple discussions like what we're having right now, where you can have several people who are really on the same page, but you have like a lot of
On the same page, on the same page, but writing in different languages.
Yeah, pretty much, and it becomes a communication gap. And we've seen it historically when a whole bunch of black leaders, for example, I'm just pointing out black for the purpose of this discussion. But when they all came together, I think it was in the 70s. Everybody you can name, they came together in a powerful era, and it just didn't work because you had so many people with conflicting ideas. And the communication just didn't fit. So the fact that we haven't been able to come together, everybody, which no ethnicity, no group has.
And it's always been like that.
It's nothing new. That's what I'm saying. That's not true.
I'm just talking about as a community.
I'm just talking about we're divided. I mean, you don't hear white people. I mean, white women arguing over white people's hair and
white
women
folks aren't together.
Hold on, listen. No, I'm saying, hold up. I know politically, but I'm talking about we as people. We're more divided against our religion. You have black Muslims, then you have the Christians, blacks, and then you have the people. Women are talking about, I'm going to go natural and get rid of the weaves. I'm just talking about, you have some men who look and say, I want a woman that's nice and quiet, or I want somebody. We've always been divided in some sense. Even in the 60s, like he said, we've been divided. One wanted peace, nonviolence. One wanted to be like the Black Panthers. Some said segregation was bad for us. Some said desegregation was bad. We still divided.
Well, you got people saying, why is it that you have groups talking about the resegregation of schools, the resegregation of neighborhoods? Well, if that's the case, that means that black folks are together. It may not be together the way that you want to on the same ideology and the same philosophy, but they are together, especially in ways that you don't take advantage of.
Yeah, and when you're together physically and not mentally, it leads to conflict.
They are together,
and gang violence is a perfect example of that.
Hold on for a minute, y'all. Let Maze get in. She's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Maze.
I say they're together and doing different things.
Oh, what you say?
People are together at doing different things. Okay. But they might be going down the same road, but they're doing it differently.
Okay.
And when it comes to breaking the law, sometimes you need to know, I mean, if you know your friend is going to commit a crime, some people will get out and some will stay in and go on and be caught in the crime. If you have the sense to get out and say, man, no, I'm not going with you. You go and I stay. But some don't. You may let two might get out and three might stay in, and those are the three that get caught.
And they all three tell on each other. They all do a three. They all do a.
And the
do,
one that got
three,
out. Of,
they all do three. And, do a first 48.
And the one that got out, the two that got out of the car and went home, they didn't commit a crime because they were not in with the crime.
But see, somebody was saying about conspiracy. They could still link them to that because they could say, well, you knew
see,
it was going to go down, but you didn't stop it. You were in conspiracy. You conspired.
But no,
with
sir, this is the definition of a conspiracy.
No,
real
let
quick.
Let me finish, okay. Please. See, this is the thing we need to realize. First of all, we're coming into a police state, kind of basically already are. Mm-hmm. This means they can pull you into anything if they really want to. They can say you were part of that. Now, you could get off from that, but it's going to take you spending money and getting a lawyer and going through the system. And see, once you do that, then you're in the system. This is the point I'm trying to make. You can get put and pulled onto anything. We have to get out of the mindset that everything going on is because all of these people are crooks and criminals. A lot of them are, absolutely. But us as citizens, you know, upstanding citizens going about our day, we need to realize what's really going on and that all of these people that's being locked up, that could be you if you make the wrong move.
Listen to me. Can I say something, please?
It could be, but let me ask you this, Renee. Roughly, of the percentage of the people in jail, how many do you think committed. You know, I know a lot of people that have been to jail that have told me I didn't do that stuff they charged me with, man, but I did a whole lot of other stuff. I did a whole lot of other stuff. But what would you, no, seriously, I'm like, they put me together on this one, but dang, I did so much other stuff. And friends of mine that'll tell me the truth. But what percentage do you think of people are in jail completely unjustly, that they just got framed? And
that's
what percentage
crazy.
Do you, and what percentage, and let me ask you, and what percentage do you think that are there, that are there because they committed the crime that they're charged with? Because if you've ever been in jail, everybody in jail, from so I've heard, will tell you that they're innocent.
Right.
But what percentage do you?
And some people.
Some people come September.
Some people commit a crime so they have some place to warm and to eat and sleep during the winter.
That's true. Let me answer this question. Honestly, I think it's probably, I'm going to put this together as far as people who did not commit that particular crime.
I know you don't know any real stats, but in your mind, what do you think?
I would say 15%. 15.
I wouldn't say that was a wrong figure. I wouldn't be surprised if it was something like that, too.
Yeah. But, see, it's 15%. But when it's you or your loved one or your son call you, Mama, they did this and that, Daddy, they did this, then it takes on a different feeling for you. You know, that's just
when
your
it hits home
of
what you the most important things when something like that arises is knowing your rights and having some resources.
and the resources,
they are money, but it's more than money. It's having contacts.
I was just going to say one of the most underrated resources is human capital. I think that's one of those resources that's often overlooked. That's all.
You got to have good alibis, too.
That's down the line. And that's what I meant by resources, human resources. If you have a family friend who's a judge or who works in the district attorney's office.
Beasley.
What are you talking about?
May I say something?
Hold on. Now, go ahead and ask your question. Go ahead and ask your question. I'll answer it.
How many people of color have a family friend who is a defense attorney, an attorney at all, or knows a judge?
Me and a whole lot of people that I grow up with. And I can speak from experience. Me and a whole lot of people that I grew up with. Some more than me. A guy that I went to camp with, summer camp. His father is, I shouldn't say his name, but his father was in the LAPD and was a police chief. When he spoke, you can get released before, and you might have to show up for arraignment. But a lot of black folks, see, it depends on the type of where you grew up and the type of people you were around.
Exactly.
And who your parents were.
And depending on where you are, your boss can get you out and make sure you didn't go to jail, too, depending on what state you live in.
So
what kind of boss you got and what kind of power he rules in that town.
I just wanted to say something. Can I say something? I've been listening to you. I'm trying to get in. 30 seconds, man. Well, first of all, you're right. People get hooked up a lot. I heard him. Man, in education, he said, I never interviewed for a job. Hey, you ain't never interviewed for a job. Well, he qualified, but if you know somebody, in certain cases, factually, it's not what you know all the time. It's who you know to get you in that position, because in technology, you may have 500 people going for one position. Sometimes if you know somebody, they're going to get you in. And they always say on job, do you know a friend, somebody, so you already have some type of relationship. If they know that you're a cool person, they may think that your friends that you hang around is also cool. You know, so that's how it is. But hold on. One more thing. Hold on real quick. But a conspiracy is simple. It has to be more than one person. Something has to be done in the secret. And their action is going to be detrimental to the person that they're going to be inflicting the pain or whatever they're going to be doing on. It has to be that. You know, excluding a surprise birthday party, that's a conspiracy. But most of the time, conspiracy is evil.
It's something that we try to avoid as
right,
far as
right.
the court is concerned.
All
so,
right,
right. But
Michael,
it's just not about your thoughts, Mr. Talk.
All right,
you have to
Michael.
Take some action on that conspiracy.
Are you through now? Okay.
No.
So, now, the whole thing that brought up this whole conversation was ATF setting individuals up to rob crack houses and things of that nature when, you know what, I don't know who, this is the second day in a row I had this noise and it's really irritating.
Now somebody's driving.
So somebody need to fix it. All right, that's all I'm going to say. But
so
what I,
when the people...
what I'm saying is here's the thing. You know, it's bad when even judges are not, you won't even touch the cases because it's that close to entrapment. You know, I mean, you are arresting these young men for stuff they have. Okay, conspiracy, really? Conspiracy? When is that? Why is that a felony then? If you just sat there and they brought, see, it's not like you go to them with the idea. They come to you with the idea. But these are federal agents.
They do it all the time.
But that's my point. That's my point.
I know somebody I went to elementary and junior high
with. Hold on, Beasley. Hold on. All right. And here's another thing. I understand what y'all are saying about is who you know and if you know family notice. But you let's really think about this thing. You know, if you know somebody, if somebody in your family knows somebody who works at the courthouse or happens to be a judge in the family, how many people do you think are going to these people all the time once they get in trouble, talking about, can you hook me up? Hey, man, can you hook me up? You know, eventually,
right.
Eventually that gets old.
I'm talking.
You're right, Mr. Talk eventually gets old. But for somebody,
didn't I just say I was talking?
Oh, go
ahead. Y'all gave me a headache. I'm talking now. Thank you. Let me get mine out. All right, now. So you know, this is all good. It's all good. But what the biggest thing is, why don't we learn the laws? Is that such a hard thing to do? I mean, they
that's
have
what
a whole
of
maze. Oh. That's your last time.
I'm sorry.
All right. Now, you know, that would help a lot. You know, number two is, you know, let's get out there and stop them from doing this thing. We talked about why they're doing it yesterday. The private prisons. They got to have so many bodies in the beds. You know, state and federal. Everybody's making money. And it rolls all the way back to, you know, the local levels and the CPS and all them. Everybody's making money off this thing. You know? So, you know, as far as, you know, do you got a criminal mind? Yeah, they may have, but damn, is somebody bringing it to you? Really? And they federal agents at that? I can see if you went to one of them and say, look, man, I got this job I want to do. That's fine. Okay. I understand that. But for you to sit there and come to them and introduce the actually criminal act to them, and they go on it, and the judges and prosecutors saying, no, that's too close to entrapment, then what is that telling you? This stuff is not legal.
Maze, what you cook?
Well,
with?
I agree.
It should be a lawsuit since we
we need
them.
A rotation.
They should file a lawsuit against them, the people that's being done that way, like everybody else do. They file a lawsuit, and guess what happens?
Maze, what you cook tonight?
Come on, man. I want to say something real quick.
Go ahead, Michael.
Just 30 seconds. First of all, to me, it's a hate crime with George Zimmerman. I'm still waiting before Obama gets out. Are they going to still charge him on the federal level? That's something. They promised they're going to do that, but we'll see if those two black men do that. But, hold on. Mr. Talk, before Al Sharpton and everybody went down in Florida, George Zimmerman, they was going to charge him, and they ripped the shit up because of his father. People still get hooked up today. He was getting hooked up. They still doing it, Mr. Tarr. That's all I wanted to say. They still doing it.
And your point to that was what, Michael?
No, I'm just saying, you're saying that's going to be tiring. No, this is always, I mean, they always do this.
Michael, that was his son. That was his son. Of course he's going to hook him up. Really? Come on, Michael, get with me here. All right, anyway, who next? Who next? Come on. I'm ready now. Come on. Who next? Don't be scared.
Why are you shooting people?
I don't want to get shot.
That's violence.
Oh, I done fired up the shotgun. Now nobody want to say anything, huh? Come on. Don't be scared.
I'm scared.
You're violent.
I'm scared.
I'm not scared.
Shoot.
I'm not afraid. Unless you have it on mute. I have a shield against bullets.
Okay. All facts, you know what? I would not hold my breath on Obama and Eric Holder. I would not hold my breath on that. I'm sorry. I don't think that they are going to do it. I mean, if they were, wouldn't they have done that already, or is this going to be right before he walks out of office?
Well, no, I'm just sit back and saying what they're going to do, because Eric Holder did say it. I'm just going to sit back and see if they even mention it before this term is over. That's all. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to do it or not.
Look,
but they did say that, though.
Honestly, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. It's just that simple.
No.
You know,
no.
It's died down. They're going to let it stay dead, and they're going to let it go on about his business. That's all. Until he does something to where he really can't get his behind.
It's a hate crime, and as long as they use the same evidence. It's a hate crime, as long as they use the same evidence.
Why would it go dead is what I'd like to know.
What?
Because
if something go dead, people stop talking about it and stop complaining about it and stop wanting it to be done. That's how it go dead.
Yeah. Because over time, like people try to say time heals all wounds, that's not true. But over time, people go back into their everyday life, and then another story takes the tension away from it, and people go on. And then it's still in their mind. It's still in the back of their mind. But their activism toward it and their anger has died down. It's not as strong as it once was when it just happened. And that's what we fall victim to a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's what we fall victim to a lot in this country.
Thank you.
You know, it's, once it's over, it's over. We whine and complain. We might even...
The only thing Eric Holder and them has to do is prove his intent and what was... He had a hateful intent before he got in... Before he encountered Trayvon. Okay.
It's done. Because wouldn't it be double jeopardy? They can't try him again.
Yes, they can. Listen, that's a lie. Long as they use on the federal level, that's state level, the federal government is like the quote-unquote God. When you deal with the state, just think of the federal because it overrides the state. As long as they use the same evidence, they can still charge them, but they can go at a different angle. They can go to hate crime route. You can look at you can listen to the 911 tapes. He ain't even know the man how you describe him. Well,
this
I'm just saying, though, but they just
live
say
his life.
Right.
This man has set up and made. Did y'all see he made that picture? Was it a painting or he drew it? A picture of Trayvon Martin in with his hood on. You, I'm sorry, bastard. Excuse me? You done killed this 17-year-old boy who will never be here again. He will never be on this earth. This boy had no weapon. This boy committed no crime, okay? And he stood up and made a picture of him. I think he sold him for like $30,000 to somebody. He's sitting up signing autographs at gun shows, okay? And people supporting him and rallying behind him.
Yeah,
this country is disgusting. This country is disgusting. I don't give a damn about race or anything. For people to co-sign this man who is a murderer. He had no damn right. He called the police.
Listen, when the juror said that I wanted to convict him, I say, ma'am, as a juror, as a human being, she can look at that law. But as a human being, she still should have said no or what she felt. Nobody could have stopped her. They're crazy. I mean, they don't know how to do the jury. Even the law is about interpretations. That's why they argue over the ambiguous words. So it's how she felt and how she saw the evidence.
I have a question.
Oh.
All right. Hold on. Wait a minute before you get your question out, Pianki. You know what, Michael? That's all fine and dandy. Woohoo! Yay! Okay, she should have did. Michael, look, the bottom line is the way it was presented, okay, according to the law in the state of Florida, he was innocent. It's just that simple. He was innocent. Now, but here's Here's the problem with that whole scenario. Number one, the federal government is not going to do nothing. If you wait on Holder and Obama to do anything, it's not going to happen. And you want to know why it's not going to happen? Number one, the poverty pimps are not out there pushing anything anymore because they can't make no money. There's no notoriety for them. And the biggest thing about this whole situation, the black community not requiring them to do anything. Everybody, as it's been mentioned already on the show, everybody has gone back to their daily lives. You know, when the anniversary come up, they get out there and they march up down the street or have a rally or whatever, and then the next day everybody's back doing what they're going to do. You know, it's just that simple. So
Can I add something, Mr. Park? Go ahead.
I got a question.
Wait a goddamn minute. Y'all got a twist. I'm talking.
Shoot
them. You know what? Yeah, y'all done lost y'all mind today. And I told y'all. Now, nobody can say anything to I unmute you. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Y'all just done got crazy. Now, as I was saying, nothing is going to happen to Jim Zimmerman unless he run off a bridge somewhere or he get caught up in the wrong neighborhood and somebody take him out. That's the only time something going to happen to him, okay? That's all that's going to happen. All right? Until the black community comes together and demands something happen, if anything, for the black community, that's when something would happen. Until then, stop waiting on other people because Holder's not going to do it. Obama's not going to do it. The next president is not going to do it. Muhammad is not going to do it. And whoever the heck else is not going to happen. Okay? So get up, get off of it. It's just that simple. Just that simple. Now, everybody woosaw, because y'all done made me want to woosaw. All right? So now, first we're going to go to Renee. Renee, would you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah. I'll put in the chat room. They said that his weapon was the concrete. How in the hell is somebody's weapon the concrete? Okay, they said that was his weapon he used against George Zimmerman. Therefore, he was legitimate in shooting him and killing him. Mind you, this boy was not walking around with concrete in his pocket. He had Skittles in his teeth. And, you know, I mean, it's just disgusting. And, no, we cannot wait on Eric Holder and Obama to do a damn thing because if they were going to do it, they would have done it then. Okay, Obama came out and gave that little speech about Trayvon Martin, and then people were, like, having outrage behind him saying that he could have been Trayvon or whatever. This shows you the sickness of this country right then and there because we have no respect for life. We have no respect for life, even for that of children. And people need to understand something. When a society falls, okay, when a nation falls, one of the main things that happens, okay, is people get away from religion. Two, people start to devalue life, okay? And the fact that even on the racial aspect, we didn't even, as a country, have value for this 17-year-old boy. We didn't even have value for, Jordan Davis. We didn't even have value for any of them. So, anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
All right. All right. Thank you, Renee, for that. And let me bring in Sister Ngoni. I see she has her hand up. Welcome, Sister Ngoni. How are you doing today? Okay, we having a little technical difficulty. Okay, so we'll come back to my sister, my dear friend. All right, let's go to Pianki. Pianki, well,
listen here, Mr. Talk. Let me tell you something. I agree with what you said, and I tried to tell you this a couple of times, but you wouldn't let me.
Well, I'm sorry, Pianki.
But
go ahead.
But that is not a federal matter. That's a state matter. And how is it going to be I mean, it's the only reason why we hollering hate crime because it's involving a black person and a white person. But you can be sure that all of the black kids that's going to be shot in Chicago by other blacks this weekend, the ones that's doing the shooting are going to be hollering to the others, you in this, you in that. And they're not being charged with hate crimes. So who was there to say what was hate and what wasn't in this particular one with George Zimmerman was found not guilty. 40 years ago, he wouldn't even been brought to trial, so there is justice being done. And the man's not guilty. Thank you, Mr. Talk.
All right, you're welcome. All right, let's see. Mr. Beasley, you up.
I don't know. I'm reading about a trader at Goldman Sachs who only got an $8.25 million bonus in 2010. He's taking them to court because he feels like he didn't get a fair shake. People, we just can't all get along. I want to go back to reading this.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right.
All right. Mr. N2K, you up, sir.
Great show, Mr. Tark. I think that people got a chance to actually exercise those demons that are within them and express their heartfelt thoughts. And I would just like to leave you with this. If I could kill off the majority of you black people, I would do it in a heartbeat because...
Really?
All
righty then. Let's go with Miss Antoinette. Hello, Antoinette. How are you?
Oh, I'm scared now. Shoot.
Don't be scared. Hey.
I happen to disagree with Pianki. I don't think that the child should have been killed. I don't think he had a right to be killed. Walking through a neighborhood is not a right for someone to come after you and kill you. And people getting shot in their neighborhoods and the black-on-black crime, yes, that's a problem. That's a problem that we need to straighten out.
Mm-hmm.
But people kill where they live. That boy was walking through to go back to where his father lived, and that's not a justifiable reason for Killerman to kill him and then to be let off. And he's going around and still creating havoc.
Hmm. That is true. I don't know where that static coming from, but it's killer. All right. Thank you, Ms. Antoinette. All right, let's see. Let's get with, I'm sorry. Are you finished? My bad.
Yes, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's go with Michael. Michael, you up?
Well, first of all, let me please have my time. I just got to get some factual points out. You don't even know what the definition of a hate crime is, Pianki. Don't even know it. Gangbangers shooting each other over drugs and territory are not a sense of a hate crime. You don't even know what it is. Look it up. I don't have no time to even define you. And I say again, when the state of Florida gave their, you know, when he didn't get convicted, they had their judgment down the state of Florida, right? Factually, Eric Holder did not have to say anything. He said, okay, let the states handle it. But he came back and says, you disagree with the decision, and there's another step that we can take federally. I did not say that. I did not put no gun to his head. He said it. He said that we're going to look. Having said that, you're telling me that I can't think that they may do it before. I can. He put it on record saying that he may. Factually. So telling someone they should stop thinking about something, I don't know. No one's my father on this phone. And I'm saying it's about the law. The federal government can look at any state. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for the federal government, we wouldn't have our civil rights. Federal government always saved the black people and crimes because a lot of these states can do what the hell they want.
I can't believe you even said something like that, Michael.
Can I say something again, Mr. Talk?
Make it quick. I got some other people I need to get on.
Mr. Talk, the only thing the federal government could have done was investigated the police department. They have no jurisdiction over the trial between Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. That was a state issue. These self-acclaimed lawyers come on your program and make these statements. Don't believe me. Research it yourself. And the man was found not guilty. If he had a youth, if a white and black is fighting in a commission of a crime, and one white used a racial slur, he can be charged with a hate crime. So who, you only got one person alive, the other's dead, so who's going to say what was said? My goodness. Thank you, Mr. Talk.
All right. You're welcome, Mr. Pianki, and that is a very good point. But I want to go back to something Michael said. Michael, the federal government didn't give anybody no dang on civil rights. We had civil rights from the day we got here, buddy. You know, now, they were denied, yes, but they didn't give them to us, okay? So you need to go back and recreate. I mean, research or look at that again or redefine what you just said, because that is wrong. All right, now, next is Ms. Mays. Go ahead, Ms. Mays.
Are we having our final words for today?
Yeah, this is going to be your final words for the day. Go for it.
Oh, well, we should stop hating things that we don't understand, trying to learn and figure out what you hate and why you hate it, and give it a reason not to.
All right. Well, thank you for that also.
We'll get you
later. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure it will. I don't know who's going to get, but anyway. All right, let me see. Sister Ngoni, are you there now?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Talk. How are you today? I had myself muted.
Okay. Oh, my bad. But go ahead. Oh, what you got to add to it? I know it's going to be a good one.
Well, I just wanted to say, I've been listening to the whole show, but I wanted to say I think Renee hit on something very important, because she addressed the larger issue of society's decay and disintegration. And, you know, Mr. Beasley made the comment that, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And that's true. However, the fact of the matter is, today, it's not possible not to be ignorant of the law. First of all, we don't have any laws. We have statutes and codes. And there are millions of them. So no one person can, you know when they're – probably if you scratch your nose today, you might be breaking some kind of code or statute. There's no money, and I know he hates it when I say that, but it's a fact. We don't have a federal government. We don't have state government. We have no representative government, and there are no laws because the United States went bankrupt in 1933 and exists today in name only. Their revenue collectors, Eric Holder is a crook, and all the rest of them up there on the hill are crooks. Now, when we get that straight and stop walking around here thinking that we're in a nation and we understand where we are, you know, we are in a place now where they are ushering in, flying in immigrants by the tens of thousands. The southern border has collapsed. And that is, and they're giving them bus tickets on our dime to ship them in the interior of the United States to be with their families, and they're giving them paper telling them to report to immigration like they think they're going to. And some of them are coming in here with untreatable tuberculosis. Why are they doing that? Because they want to go to a one-world government, and they have to, even though it's not true that we live in a nation, haven't since 1933, it's still in the minds and hearts of the people. And if you look across the pond and see what's going on in Europe, you'll understand exactly what's going on here, because they're further along in the process than we are by probably about a decade or more. I'm done. Thank you. Great show, Mr. Talk.
All right. Thank you, Sister Ngoni. As always, some great information passed on. All right. I think I got everybody else. And let's see. I think I got everybody else. And I think I got one person left to say something if they wish to. Well, two people. And let's see. My co-host. Where you at, man? Where you at? What you got for me today?
Oh, man, just enjoyed the show, and looking forward to Monday, you know, in that whole week to really talk about some of the legends, man. I'm excited about that. And, you know, I wish everybody a joyous and peaceful remainder of their day along with their weekend.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. Wow. you know, is outstanding. I mean, outstanding show. You know, Cloud, somebody said we should, you should have a Saturday show. So I don't know. I guess they don't like the way I do my show, so they want you to have one. Anyway, all right. But anyway, y'all, it's all good. It's all good. Man, it's been a Friday, that's for sure. And I don't even know where to begin right now. You know, next week, the only thing I got to say, next week we're gonna do the whole week on some of the greats, male and female. We got W.E. Du Bois, we got Marcus Garvey, Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, and some of the females from that era also. And we're going to talk their philosophies back then and see how they translate into today's world and society in the black community. It should be very, very interesting for sure. And I can't wait to get into that. You know, we are supposed to do it today, thus the wording on the promotion, but I changed it because I felt as though, you know, wouldn't have done any of those individuals any justice just to do two and a half hours. You know, it just, we couldn't have covered everything we need to cover. So that's what we can be working on this next week. So y'all be ready for it, because hey, it's going to be a good one. All right, I want to thank everybody for joining me today. It's been fun, man. I'm telling you, wow, the crew has been here. I don't know. Something was in the air today because everybody got a little outrageous. H2O, I don't know, man. You was on some special trip today. I don't know. I hope you get there and come on back to the normal side of the house, all right? Because that atmosphere, stratosphere you was in today, that's not a good look for you, brothers. Not a good look at all. Michael, as always, man, you keep it interesting. You know, I'm telling you, you make people stay on top of their game, that's for sure, because you got to be on top of your definitions and what's going on when you come around. Beasley, Pianki, as always, y'all always drop something. Maze, I tell you, man, I tell you, that's all I can do, Maze. I just can't laugh. I can't do it over laugh. Because sometimes I don't think you understand what you be saying, but it's all good. We love you. Renee, as always, passionate and full of information, and she tells it like it is. Don't pull any punches. Oh, my dear friend, Sister Ngoni Antoinette, thank you, ladies. Y'all really keep it together. Let's see. Did I forget anyone? Of course, my love, Miss Talk, she out there listening. Yeah, y'all don't know. When I be messing up, she be hitting me over the head over here. So she keeps me in line. Vernon, cuz, as always, dedicated. Thank you for listening. Mini Astrology, I've seen you last couple of days. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. All right. Well, I think I'm going to cover it. And, of course, my co-host, Cloud Nation. Hey, what I'm missing information, he bringing on to the front. And you can't beat that. You know, you can't beat that. All right, y'all. Well, I'm going to get out of here. Going to have me a good fishing weekend and chill out with Mini-Me. And hope y'all have a good time over the weekend and with your families as well. And we'll kick it off again Monday. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with open heart. Make sure you forgive yourself first. And the biggest and best thing, just remember to learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, man, everything else is gravy. That's for sure. If you want to send me any messages, just send them to ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can go to the Facebook page. You can post stuff on the Facebook page if you want to. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. You can leave me a message here on Blog Talk Radio, and I am on Twitter, Driven4Life62. All right, now that's my Twitter. You know, you can hit me up there as well. All right. I think I ran out of talk time now. Oh, but it's been fun. I do appreciate it. Everybody have a great weekend. For me and Cloud Nation, this has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. We are going to get up out of here now. What are we going to leave y'all with today? I don't know. Let's leave with some earth, wind, and fire, the elements. See y'all Monday, man. Y'all have a good one. We gone.
got the way.